welcome our next guest. Talk about the NBA trade deadline. You can find him on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Read him at Pro Basketball Talk, part of NBC Sports. It is Dan Feldman. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Dan.
Thanks for having me.
Dan, I want to talk about some big picture NBA stuff, but let's address the Jazz first. They stood pat at the time or at the trade deadline. They had Derek Favors out there, Shelvin Mack out there. They've got four first round draft picks in the next 2 years. Did the Jazz make a mistake by not going out and trying to add a piece, or do you like this roster as it's currently built?
I really like this roster. I don't think it's a mistake. I think where the Jazz are, they're in the position where they could, yeah, they could go out and get somebody and try and be a little stronger in the playoffs. This is a good enough team to win a playoff series or two, and I don't take that lightly. You don't want to waste those opportunities. But this roster is already pretty built. A lot of depth. I don't really know exactly where you'd find such a clear upgrade unless you're overpaying, and I don't think they need to overpay. They're still young enough where their window is going to be open for a while.
What was the actual market for Derek Favors? I mean, it was clear the Jazz were receiving interest and they were interested in potentially moving him. What was the market value, though, for Derek Favors?
Yeah, that's tough to say. He was one of the trickier ones on the market just because there were so many big men. I think in most cities he's going to be the center. It's obviously a little different with Rudy Gobert. But most places he'd be the center, and there were just a bunch of centers on the market where the cost was lower. And yeah, the difference in quality of play, too, but just the teams that needed centers, maybe not so many of them, plenty of centers available, and the ones that needed centers, I don't know if they wanted to spend what it would take to get Favors. So I just think this time of year, there just wasn't a clear match where you're going to get true value what he brings to the Jazz.
Dan Feldman's our guest, 1320 KFan. Dan, when you were looking at the trade deadline today, we didn't have major, major blockbusters outside of the Boogie Cousins, which obviously happened Sunday night. Did you feel like there was a certain gold standard that teams were out there looking for? It's not expiring contracts anymore. Is it draft picks? Is it proven talent? Is it young players? What did you see?
That's a good question. I think really the major thing is that star player who's maybe not in the perfect situation, who maybe his team is a little unhappy with him, maybe he's a little unhappy with his team. And I think that's probably what it was in years past, too, but it's hard to crack through on that. The Pelicans got Boogie Cousins. Obviously they did, but Paul George, Jimmy Butler, they stayed. I'm not really surprised by that. It's so hard to get a player of that caliber. Teams aren't going to let them go easily, but for that same reason, other teams are going to try really hard to get them.
Will the Pelicans make the playoffs now, in your opinion, with Boogie? Can they make that big of a jump?
It can. They're going to be in the mix, but if I had to guess, I would say no. Not only are the Nuggets up, they're up 2.5 games, which is more than people give credit for this time of year. But not only do the Pelicans have to play better than the Nuggets, they have to hope that the Trailblazers don't get it going. There's not really a great reason the Trailblazers have pilfered along this year like they have. They could turn around at any moment. So you have to outplay the Nuggets and hope the Trailblazers don't figure things out.
Dan, when you look at the trade deadline now, we've kind of been able to digest everything that was just a few hours ago. Who do you think were the clear winners, and who do you think maybe were the losers earlier today?
Well, I think the clear winner for this can go from this whole week is the Pelicans. To get a player like DeMarcus Cousins with for so little, the Pelicans had done a pretty bad job of building around Anthony Davis, and that's what made this gamble so worthwhile for them. They just did not have the assets to go out and upgrade their roster, and they did it anyway in a huge way. And so at the same token, you got to start with the Kings as a big loser. They're undergoing this rebuild now, and in 2 years, they don't even have their own first-round pick. So it's such a narrow window to rebuild the tank, to reset the roster. And if you're trying to change the culture, I'm not sure you can do that with an owner like Vivek Ranadive, who's been around a lot of problems for them.
Dallas just bought out Deron Williams, and it sounds like Deron's going to go to Cleveland to try to chase a ring with LeBron. There was some talk, though, that the Jazz and Deron Williams could have potentially rekindled their relationship. Could you see down the line, maybe even in a couple of more years, Deron Williams coming back to close his career on better terms with the Jazz?
That'd be interesting. I heard he still has a house in Utah. Yeah. I think he does have some remorse, probably, about how things ended there. I think things got a little bit out of hand late in his tenure with the Jazz. That said, it's one thing to wish that things had gone better the last time, but just trying to chase it by coming back isn't always the answer. He might feel otherwise, but I don't think that's necessarily going to fix everything. I think if he comes back, it'd probably be pretty forgettable. relative to everything he brought to the Jazz at its peak.
NBC Sports, Dan Feldman's our guest, 1320K fan. Dan, looking at the NBA, looking at a trade that the Jazz had been rumored on early this week, was Lou Williams. He ends up with the Houston Rockets. What do you think about what Houston did adding a guy like Lou Williams?
He's a very good player, having a career year, a real efficient scorer for the volume of shots he takes. Like, it's historic what he's doing as a scorer, just as a scorer. The only other people who've done it are Hall of Famers. Not much of a defender, which could be a problem in the playoffs. Relies a lot on getting to the free throw line, which could be a problem in the playoffs when other teams can scout him a little better, get a better feel for his moves. But he was a talent upgrade. The other question I have for the Rockets is, you know, he's kind of a marginal addition. You already have James Harden. You already have Eric Gordon. You already have Patrick Beverley. How much is he going to help you, even if the other concerns don't derail him in the playoffs when Houston's really shooting for? All that said, nice addition. They didn't give up a ton. They got off Corey Brewer's contract, which is a negative deal. So if you get off all that, just a good value trade, but not the best fit.
And then when you look at, obviously, the Boston Celtics were one of the big teams trying to make a major move at the deadline, getting either Paul George or Jimmy Butler. What do you think kept those deals from consummating? Was it just the fact that there's really no urgency for those teams to make a trade in Indiana or Chicago, the fact that they could go back and revisit it this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, it's just that good, very good star-level players are just so hard to come by in this league. When you get one, you don't want to just give one up for... You know, if you have a player who's an 8 or a 9, then you're not going to trade him for spare parts that add up to an 8 or 9 or maybe even 12 or 13, because you can't put them all in the court at once. They can't all contribute at once. That's not how it works. So it's just the nature of it. If you have a star player, unless you're the Kings, apparently, you're going to be pretty reluctant to give him up.
Is there a matchup you feel would be most favorable for the Jazz here as we close the season? Is there a team you feel like the Jazz would be primed to take out in the first round of the playoffs?
I really don't think there's any particular matchup, which is a credit to the Jazz. They can play a number of different styles. Rudy Gobert really just imparts his will regardless of what the other team is doing. I don't think he's the type of center you're going to run off the court. So I don't think there's a particular matchup. You're just going to hope for the worst team you can face overall, and I think that's the best shot.
Find him on Twitter, at Dan Feldman, NBA. Read him at Pro Basketball Talk. Dan, really great stuff. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for having me.